We're so thankful, Lord, that you've given us a job to do, Lord, here on this earth. And you don't need us, but Lord, you let us. And Lord, we're thankful for that. Lord, we just pray that you would give us, Lord, your wisdom and discernment to know what to do and where to go and how to do it, Lord, because without you, we can do nothing. But with you, we can do anything through Christ who strengthens us. So, Lord, we just pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit, baptize us with the power of your Holy Spirit right now, Lord. We pray that you would just descend on this place, Lord, and as your people come up and share in a few minutes, Lord, you would just fill and anoint them. And that, Lord, you would cause us to action, Lord, that we would put feet to our faith, and that, Lord, we would be busy about your business. We would be doers of the word, like your word tells us to do, and not just hearers, because we just deceive ourselves, your word tells us. So, Lord, just help us. Guide us and direct us. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm excited, you guys. I don't know if you can tell, but just looking back last year, we were able to go on 8 mission trips in this church. And I had to count them like 6 times. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that we went to Africa, Mali, Africa. We went to Cabo, Mexico. We went to Pune, India. We went to China, and you're going to hear from them tonight as they went and smuggled Bibles into China. We went to Herborn, Germany. We went to Heidelberg, Germany. Back to Cabo, Mexico. And then we just finished up just at Christmas time, between Christmas and New Year's, down at the Bay of St. Louis, down in Mississippi, and you're going to hear from them. But before I call them up, I just want to explain to you, these two mission trips you're going to hear about tonight, China and Mississippi, are a lot different than many of the trips we go on in this church. All the other ones I mentioned that we went on were evangelistic mission trips. Now, does that mean we didn't evangelize when we went to these two? No, absolutely we did, and God gave us opportunity to do that. But you're going to see a lot, especially from the pictures, where a lot of other pictures from other trips, you see people sharing the gospel and pleading with people to come to know Jesus, showing them scriptures in their Bibles. You won't see that in many of the pictures here because they didn't have a camera going when they were standing up on a rooftop hammering nails, fixing a roof or hanging drywall. But they were sharing with the people. So, and also with the China trip, well, you're not allowed. I mean, if you snap a picture in there, a lot of times they'll take the camera away from you in China. And you have to be very stealth in China. When we go in there to smuggle Bibles, we look for every opportunity to share the gospel, but you won't see it on film. I know I tried to take a picture of somebody sharing the gospel, and when I was in Africa, and a guy come after me, and it wasn't a good experience. So you got to be careful sometimes how you take pictures. But we're gonna have China come up first. But first, I just want to explain to you. I have a lot of people come up to me and go, Jeff, smuggling Bibles, isn't that illegal? You can't do that. It's illegal. We're supposed to obey the law. And the answer to that is absolutely, we are to obey the law, except when it goes against the law of God. And the Bible tells us to go and to share the gospel. Yeah, amen to the Lord. And just a couple of scriptures. You know, when the apostles were in jail, in Acts 5, it says, But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison's doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life of Jesus. Now the angel came down and he opened the prison doors. Now, was that illegal? Yeah, it was illegal. He shouldn't have done that. But he told them, go out there. Was it illegal for them to go out there and preach? Absolutely. Also in Acts, it says, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So when the laws of the land go against the laws of God, you know who we go with? We go with the Lord. And he tells us to take his word into all the world. And that's what we do here. So with that, I don't want to take up any more time. But right now, why don't the China team, you know who you are. If you don't, so you won't skip out on me. Jim Leonard, Christy Wright, Amanda Les Mueller, Jacob Brainerd, and Dan Zink, her dad. Why don't you guys just come up and stand right here, right where Dan's going to stand up here. Come on up, you guys, right now. Dan, you can stay over here with me. We're going to wait for you. Don't be afraid. Come on up. These are the guys that took smuggled Bibles into China. Isn't that incredible? It's an incredible trip. But Dan was the leader of the trip, and so I'm going to have Dan come up. We're going to show some pictures. I wasn't on the trip, so I can't explain them. So Dan's going to kind of explain what he does and how he does it. So Dan, come on up. Want to show the pictures, please?
Thanks, Jeff. This is an interesting picture because one of the places we went to was a Tibetan temple. And that particular place, all those things that you saw there, those were headstones for what they call living Buddhas. But the Buddhas weren't alive anymore. They were buried. This trip to China was the fifth or sixth trip that our fellowship has taken to China. And as Jeff said, the trips to China are a little different than most of the missions trips that we take. One of the things is that we intentionally try and deceive the people there because we pose as tourists. We don't let them know exactly what we're doing there. And then the other thing is that we intentionally break the law, as Jeff said. So if you're somebody who's a little bit rebellious, maybe this is the kind of missions trip that's just for you. One of the other important things on this particular trip that we were able to do was to minister to a couple of missionary families from fellow Calvary Chapels. The first city that we went to, we saw a family from Calvary Chapel in Seattle, John and Nada Jean Willis, and their son John Paul and their daughter Hannah. And we were able to take some things from the United States, some things from home, and bless them and bring some things that John and Nada Jean were going to give the kids for Christmas. And then in Kunming, we were able to meet with Peter and Gloria, who are a retired couple from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, who were actually from China and then came to the United States when they were both young. And now that they're both retired, they've gone back to minister in China. And they were feeling somewhat homesick, so it was an opportunity for us to share with them from a fellow Calvary Chapel church. But primarily what we do is we take in materials. And it's estimated that every 20 seconds there's a new believer in China. And if you don't think that that adds up to a lot of Bibles that are required, it's quite a few. The government in China prints Bibles, but they don't print near enough to meet the demand. And so we take in Bibles. We take in study materials for those who are going to be pastor teachers because they can't get those very well in China. And we take in Sunday school materials because one of the things about China is that it's illegal to teach religion to anyone who's under 18 years of age. And so they don't print Sunday school materials. They're difficult to come by. And so that's one of the primary things that we take in. Yeah, you can get food from home there, comfort food. So I don't want to take away from the time from the team's time to share. I'd like to give them opportunity to talk about their experience there and the people that they met. We did meet one ex-Buddhist monk who's become a believer, and his family, even though they're not believers, they are being persecuted because he has become a Christian. So you might pray for him and his family. His name is Hirup, if you can pronounce that. But remember him and remember the missionaries that are there and our brothers and sisters that are there that are oftentimes persecuted by their own government. So, Jim, why don't you come up and share?
Well, going to China was something I never thought I would do, but I did it. It was the longest trip I've ever done. And going there is such a blessing to see the people there, that the zeal that they have for Christ and what they, the learning that they want to do, and get the literature to them that they need so they can learn and become, bring other people to Christ. They're very scared about the government there because they are persecuted there. It's something that us in this country, we don't have a clue of how persecution is to those people because they are really worried for their life. We met one of the people we met there, she gave us her testimony and gave her real name for the first time and was very worried that we'd even spread that around or put it anywhere and asked us to be really quiet about it because she feared for her life. And that's something that we just don't have here in this country. We don't even see that. It's, you know, in that country, they really are afraid for their life, for the gospel. And just the people there, the zeal that they have for Christ is unbelievable. We got to go to a house church, which was very interesting, and talk to Pastor Lamb, who was a pretty popular pastor there who's did 20 years in the mines there and survived and still came out and opened another house church and is still preaching it. And he's 81, turned 81 when we were there. So that was quite amazing to see that and to see the zeal that these people had.
Hi, I'm Danny. This was my first trip to China. My mom's been once, my brother's been twice, my dad is the leader, he's been 8 or 9 times, and I said I would never go, and then God said, sign up. So here I am. So probably the thing that stuck out the most to me was we went to see this family in a Tibetan village, and their houses, they have nothing. Their houses are made out of dirt. They called it rammed earth. And we went to their house, and they didn't even know who we were. They let us in, and they fed us, and they even learned English phrases before we got there so they could talk to us. And it just really touched me that they would go through all that trouble. And then here in America, where we have so much, we have nice houses and nice cars, and we're so focused on ourselves. It really touched me that they would open up to us like that. So.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and and I'm terrified to talk right now, and if I had my way, I wouldn't be talking, but God's ways aren't our ways, so here I am. But I'm 16, and this isn't my second time going to China, and I'm going to share the same thing that Danny shared. Going to this Tibetan village in Shenning, it was such a blessing because these people, they spent I don't know how long, preparing all this food for us and learning English phrases so they could talk to us. And we had nothing to give them. It was so overwhelming, and they took care of us so well. And it was just awesome to see how they're such servants there. And even though they're being persecuted for their faith, and here we have it so good, you know, like we can come to church and we don't have to worry about someone coming in and, you know, being persecuted for our faith, going to jail, being killed, being martyrs, you know. And they have to go through that there. And there, you can't be a halfway Christian. It's either all or it's none. And people there, they're just so on fire for God. And it's such a blessing to see. It's, what am I doing in my life for my Savior? What are we doing to further the kingdom of God? So it was just a really awesome experience.
Okay, I'm Jacob, and hopefully you could hear me. And if not, that's okay. I went to China, obviously, and the thing that stuck out the most was when we visited Samuel Lam's house church, and he was talking to us, and he said, I was in jail for 20 years and all this stuff, and persecution's good. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, before I went into jail, there was 3 people in my congregation, and now there's like after I got out of jail, there was 900, but now there's like 3,000, I think. It's huge. And so that was really cool. And we met this family that was the American family that went over there, and this little kid, John Paul, he was like little, like 6, and it was such a blessing because I became like his bigger brother while we were there. And when we were leaving, he was like calling me his friend and stuff, and he's like, no, don't leave. And we recently got an email from them, and he still calls me his friend to this day, and it was like so cool. Yeah, so that's all. And I said like about 50 times, I know. Anyways.
They don't get out that easy. I want the camera to focus on them because they're so awesome. Look at these young people serving the Lord. She's been on to China twice and she's 16. That's what I wanted to talk about, was just to encourage you, whatever age you are, whether you're a teenager or you're something, to sign up and serve the Lord, because it's just an awesome experience. You will be totally blessed. And My whole thing is, I wanted to talk about, don't let things like money or time off from work stop you. Because, I mean, I had already went to Germany that year, so I'd already used up my vacation time. And it's like the Lord just wanted me to go. So I signed up, and I kept going to the meetings. And I did not have the money at all, because, you know, that had already been spent on Germany. And just keep going, like Pastor Jack was saying on Sunday, just go. You know, the Lord's going to provide, whether it's from other people here that are senders or what have you. And I would have you know that, was it Monday night? We're supposed to have the money in by Friday. I think it was Friday. Monday night, Dan calls me, do you have the money? No. I mean, we've had meetings for months and months and months. And I'm like, Dan, I don't know what to do. I don't have the money. I mean, obviously, I've been praying about it. And I'm like, well, let's just pray. So we've been praying about it. I called up some friends. We prayed about it, kept praying about it. By Thursday night, all the money was in my account for the whole trip. And I was talking to my friend Thursday night at the call, and I said, you know, it's so awesome what the Lord did. And I kept calling and checking on the money, and it kept going up and up and up, and I couldn't believe it. I didn't know where it was coming from, and it was so cool. And I said, yeah. And she goes, well, the trip's covered, but what about food? And I went, oh my gosh, I never thought about food. What am I going to do? What am I going to eat? And I'm thinking, what am I, an idiot? God, of course, if God pays for the trip, he's going to pay for the food, right? So the Lord totally provided. We walked out of the call that night, and a sister stopped me, and she goes, Christy, you know, she blessed me with some money. She goes, you know what, I double entried in my checkbook, and I don't know why, but the Lord just tells me, like, I have to be obedient, and I have to give this to you, and I don't know why, because you told me the trip's already paid for. And I'm like, you have no clue. This is totally enough money to pay for my food for the whole trip. So God even provided for the food. And on mission trips before, I've asked for time off, and I had one of my bosses go, I don't even know why I'm giving you the time off. I don't even know why I'm giving you the time off, but I'm going to give it to you. I don't even know why. And he's like struggling right there in front of me, and I'm like, I know, Jesus, tell you to do it. So I'm just telling you to sign up, do it. You're going to be blessed, and, you know, you don't have to be old like me. So.
Yeah. Thanks, you guys. Like Danny. Dan's daughter said, Dan leads the teams down there. He was well trained by a couple, some of you, many of you know, Al and CeCe Newdeck from Costa Mesa. They've been doing this for years. They lived in China for many years, and you guys supported them for many years, and now they're in Costa Mesa. But Al still goes on, what, Dan, like six, eight trips a year. He's planning one in February. And guess what? He needs help. I asked him yesterday, just a couple days ago, I saw him, and I asked him, Al, so who do you have going in February? He goes, no one yet. He's totally trusting the Lord. So is the Lord speaking to you? If he is, let me know. I'll hook you up. Yes?
He's in his upper 70s.
Yeah, he's in his upper 70s, almost 80 years old. And he still carries suitcases that are about 70 pounds, right? Two of them into China. Actually, that's what he calls himself. He calls him a mule for Jesus, because that's what you are. Or you could translate that mule into something else for Jesus. But because I'm one too, I got to go five times with them. But that's what you're laden with Bibles, and you take them in there. And like Dan said, I heard another statistic. In fact, I just read it. today, I think, 20,000 people come to Christ in China every day. 20,000. And so that's amazing. That's what persecution does, you guys. Amazing. Before we go on to Katrina, you guys, there's an incredible flyer that you guys need to get from Voice of the Martyrs. It's back there. It's been back there for quite a long time. We have plenty of them, so take one. Avail yourself back there on the missions board. But it has some, and it's all about Bible smuggling. That's what it's about. And it gives you scriptures that I gave you today. And it gives a couple of incredible illustrations. I'll just read one of you. It says, what about Bible smuggling? I guess I have to put my glasses on so I can see. These are stories that are what-ifs kind of stories. When the mother of Moses was lovingly hiding her baby in a basket, one of the church officials knocked on the door and convinced her that her act was illegal. Realizing her sin, she surrendered Moses to the authorities. He was killed, and the Jews remained in slavery. Now, obviously, that's, it's not blasphemous. It's obviously, it's wrong. But what if? What if she would have obeyed the law? That's what it's saying. It has three or four of those stories, and then it's a great pamphlet, you guys. You got to get it. I highlighted all kinds of good stuff in here. Too much to go over right now, but like the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And man, we've been given a lot, you guys. And there's a world out there that is dying to hear about Jesus. And so pray about going on a Bible smuggling trip. Like our pastor, Jack, often says, Christianity boring? Sign up for a Bible smuggling trip. You know? It'll change your life. It changed mine. Okay, so we're going to switch gears now, and we're going to talk about Bay of St. Louis, Mississippi. As many of you know, I already shared between Christmas and New Year's just a few weeks ago. You guys sent a team over there. There was 45 people that went over there. Amazing. Some were, I think 30 flew to Houston, and the rest of them got in motorhomes here and drove over there. Met them in Houston, and then they got some more motorhomes and vans, and they all drove to Bay of St. Louis. And you're going to see some incredible pictures in a minute. But first, why don't I have the whole Katrina team, just wherever you're at, just stand up. Everybody that went to Mississippi, just stand up right where you're at. Can you do that? Yeah. You guys can sit down, and those that I call, why don't you just come up and stand up here, Mary and Sarah Andrews, Linda and Corwin Hoogland, David Nisnek, Raylene Palacios, Garrett Radford, Ken Ratliff, Anthony Sebastian, and Megan Torok. If you guys would just come up, that's good, perfect, Mary. And then Dave, you coming up? Good. Dave led the team down there. Anybody who knows Dave, you get a hammer and a saw in his hand, and you better stand back because there's going to be nothing but sawdust and nails flying everywhere. But Dave led the team down there, and it was an incredible trip. They got so much accomplished. I'll let them tell you about it. So Dave, why don't you come on up?
All right, great.
You can show those pictures too.
All right, great. Now, we were really blessed to take the team to Bay of St. Louis in Mississippi. It's about 60 miles east of New Orleans, and it's one of many communities that got devastated by Katrina, but never hit the news radar. We never saw anything about it, but the devastation was amazing. We saw pictures of a 30-foot-high wall of water that hit the beach where there's normally no waves. The second wave right behind that in the picture was twice that tall. And it just devastated the first half a mile inland, just wiped everything out. As you can see from the photos, the tornadoes and the devastation was amazing. It also flooded the bay and pushed the tidal surge 5 miles inland. So virtually every house that wasn't knocked down suffered water damage. And even 4 months later now, the bulk of the population is camping out. They either have a FEMA trailer or they're camping in tents waiting for help. So it was an awesome opportunity to take a team in and minister to the people hands-on. Calvary Chapel La Habra established a relief organization there They've set up a camp on a baseball field, and I think that's kind of what we're looking at now. And from the baseball field, there's a food service kitchen, so up to 6,000 meals were served a day. Currently, it's about 1,500. So anybody that comes in from the neighborhood can get a free hot meal, a place to sit down, some fellowship, some encouragement, and then they sign up on a list for needs. And those needs can be anything from, I need somebody to help get some trees out of my yard, load a trailer for me because I have to pull my stuff out, or gut their house, demo their house. And now we're starting to do a lot of remodeling work. Nobody stepped up on the insurance side, so the people are just helpless. So the houses have to be gutted out, stripped down to the studs, all the insulation, all the plumbing, all electrical, everything comes out. Virtually everything in the houses that the people own is totally destroyed. So we were able to help out. These pictures now are showing some mucking out some houses. And what was really awesome about the mucking out was to be able to go through and, in the midst of the destruction, pick through the pieces. And every once in a while, we'd find a little picture that was intact, or a china cup, or something that was really important to the people of the house. And we were able to save that for them. God allowed us also in the evenings to sit and fellowship with the people as they came in to eat. And through that time, really just minister to their hearts. Here's some incredible stories of how they survived the hurricane, and just to see how God was faithful. There's a poem posted in the camp that was written by one of the locals, and it talks about all the devastation of Katrina and how they've lost everything, and how now they're just sitting there looking for hope and learning to pray. And that's one of the things that was really important to our team, is that we could just encourage the people in everything we did. And it was an awesome stretch for the team as well, as we all went out there not knowing exactly what we were going to do, and yet God used everyone on the team in the kitchen. There were 12-hour shifts. We were on 5 or 6 different locations every day doing demo, mucking out houses, putting new electrical in, drywall insulation, and all kinds of other tasks. So it was an awesome opportunity to have everybody on the team stretched. We had guys out on the roof every day as well, and just had a lot of awesome opportunities to meet the people right where they were at and just share our lives into them. People who were hardened against the gospel were softened during the course of the week. During the time that we were there, there were probably support from 8 or 10 other Calvaries. The groups would come and go on a periodic basis, and the plan is to be there long term. There's already churches formed. There's a body that's coming from the community. And the plan is to have this relief going on for many more months. This is another house that we mucked out. In a minute, you'll see some pictures of what the inside of one of these houses looks like after the water had picked the house up, spun it around, and tossed it up in the air. Those are some of the treasures we were able to save out of the house. This particular house, we got a lot done in. It started out when we got there, it was pretty much stripped, ready to go. By the time we left, the electrical was in, lights were burning, plumbing was back in place, insulation, and the house was pretty much drywalled out, ready just for some more taping and finish, and soon to be paint. right. Who's up?
Hi, I'm Ken. Just looking at the pictures brings my memory back to the first day that I got there. My heart was broken for these people. And I just feel honored to be a part of the team and to give my God-given talents back to the city of Bay St. Louis, which they continue to need our help. And I want to thank the church and the Calvary Chapel for the financial support and the prayers and just being a part of this team and being able to put my efforts towards God's work, because it's all about Him. And I thank you so much, and I can't wait to go back. It was hard for me to leave. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Anthony Sebastian, and there's just so many stories to tell. A day or two into it, I got to share with a person named Catherine, and she had actually a group of us shared with her, and we had asked the hard questions, and I asked her, you know, if you were to die today and you were standing before God and He were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? And, you know, she said that she was saved, and she was hearing impaired, so she was reading my lips, and I said, well, what do you mean by saved? And it was very neat. It took her about 5 minutes to articulate, but finally she said it was because Jesus had died on the cross for my sins, and that I have accepted that, and he paid the price for my sins, and I've accepted that. And we said, yes, exactly what it is, you know. And if that was the only thing that we experienced on this trip, I would have been very happy. And, you know, early on, my theme verse for the day in my daily devotions was Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And I thought about that scripture a lot when I was carrying 90-pound shingles up a roof. And I was thinking, you know, it'd be nice to have a little bit of strength, God. actually, I did think about that verse a lot when I was carrying those up the ladder. I said, you know, how are we going to be used, up here roofing? I was put on the roofing team, and it was so awesome. One of the houses that we actually attended was a guy named Henry Paul and Florence. And basically, a day before, we had worked on the house all day, and that night, someone just came up and said, hey, could you use an extra nail gun? I said, yeah, we could use an extra nail gun, absolutely. And the next day, we were actually provided with a nail gun, a compressor, a hose, and I was trained quickly on the nail gun. And the owner started feeding me shingles, and we were nailing them in place, and he had shared a lot with me. He shared that his father in October had just died of a heart attack, 80 years old, and he was a tree trimmer, and he had died. And we kept on talking, and very similar to the first story I told you, I just asked him positionally where he was. And it was an opportunity to share Christ with him. As we're nailing shingles, I got to share the next point of gospel and share that with him. And at the end, we get to the very top of the roof again as we're nailing shingles in place. And he said, yes, I would like to accept the gift of eternal life. And we had an opportunity to pray with him right there at the top of the roof. And the guys that were on the team were very supportive and were able to shake his hand afterwards. And, you know, one verse that I'd like to leave with everybody is Ephesians 2:10, and just reflecting what God had done. And it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And, you know, I had a lot of preconceived ideas. What would I be doing? I'm an office worker. But you know what? God provided that nail gun. He provided the team that we were on. He provided the situation of the house and the owner feeding me shingles. He provided a a very gifted roofer to do some teaching for all the teams. And I heard from a variety of other stories how each team had gone to the right house at the right timing. And, you know, I would just encourage everybody here, you know, whether it be to sign up for a missions trip or get involved with the ministry, whether it be the call or tear down crew or whatever God's calling you to do, he's already done the work. It's just up to you guys to just be obedient to him and to be richly blessed by just being obedient to him and walking in the work that he's already done. Thank you.
I'm scared. This was just an amazing trip. We went down there, and these people, they have nothing, but they're just so willing to give you everything. We went to this lady's house, Ollie, and she didn't have a lot of food in her refrigerator, and she was sitting there just trying to hand us food. She's like, oh, are you hungry? Here, have as much as you want. And we're like, no, we're not hungry. This is yours. You need to keep it. And she's like, no, they're just so willing to give you everything even though they've just lost everything that they have. And those people, they were just amazing, and they're just so wonderful to be around because they're so happy. And even though everything is gone, I mean, you look out and you see just ruins of houses, and they are just so happy and excited. And it's only because they love the Lord at the camp, and they were just so happy, and it was just amazing. And I'm done.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I was so blessed to be part of this trip. It was such an awesome trip, and I would encourage every one of you, if you have the opportunity to go, because you're going to be blessed. And we went down there to bless other people, and we came back absolutely blessed by them. And it's really neat because Philippians 4:13 is one of my favorite verses. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And God did that in each one of us on this trip. And I got to do electrical, which I've never done before in my life. And it was fun. It was neat. And it was neat to see just how we can be used in just something small, but it was so big to each one of them. And it was such a blessing to just be able to, for God to use us in ways that we've never been used. And just to be encouraged by those that are there. And Gus on the team, he said something that totally stuck with me. He said, these people have everything is just all over the place. I mean, everything that they've ever owned is just out in the open, and we're going through everything that's theirs, it's personal. And he said, we have nothing that we can hold against them. There's no fault against them. And that was really encouraging to me, because thinking of our own lives, what do we have that people, we don't want people to see if something like that happens? And these people just, it was a blessing because they didn't have anything that we could hold against them. And just to see that they know that they have their families and they have each other, and that's important to them. And they say, we haven't lost everything, and the most important things we still have. So it was encouraging to be on that team and to hear that. So it was great. So go.
Hi.
There you go. Hi.
Hi, my name is Garrett, and at first I didn't really want to go on this trip because I'm missing out on most of my Christmas break and all the presents and stuff that I just got I'm not going to get to play with. So, you know, I was kind of just like, hopefully this trip will go by quick, and yeah, I was kind of going in that attitude. And so we got down there, and I was working at this lady's house who got flooded up to 4 feet, and all the electrical was gone, but the house still stood because it was made out of brick. So for the whole week, pretty much, from dawn to dusk, we were working at this lady's house, just rewiring it and insulated it and drywalled it. And so we just got so blessed by this one lady, Marie, and another old man who just really stuck out to me, his name was Gene. I met him on like the second day, I think. He was just so right on for the Lord. And although we weren't working at his house, he was just so happy to just talk with us. And he already knew God, but we still were able to talk with him about that. And, I mean, God just really spoke to me through him about how selfish am I, about I'm missing out on my Christmas break. I'm not going to play with my presents or anything. And you know what these people got for Christmas? A demolished house. I mean, possibly even relatives who died, which would just be terrible. I mean, I couldn't even imagine if my house got destroyed. I mean, what would we do? So God just really broke my heart when I was down there. And I just encourage you guys to do what the Lord wants you to do. And God just stretched me so much. And I just, yeah, again, really want to encourage you guys to be stretched by God. So thank you.
Okay, how am I supposed to follow that, right? He's just too cute. You know, I just want to say thank you for everyone that prayed for our team, because God is so faithful to hear and answer prayer, and he did it in so many either big or small ways the entire time that we were gone. And I know there were a lot of people that when they saw there were ladies going on this trip, they're like asking, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. You know, that's totally up to the Lord. When we get there, we don't know what we're going to do. We have to be open. And that's what this team was flexible. And God used every one of us in a unique way. And he gave us gifts that we didn't even know we had. Like my daughter said, we were electrical apprentices all week long. I worked in the same house with seven other people all week long, and we ran electrical. And it was fun, and God gave us the strength. Jeff has already shared that verse, and so did Sarah. My most favorite verse in all of Scripture is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's what he did. He gave us the strength each day. We were tired. We worked hard every day, and we would come back to camp and eat and have devotions and go to bed and pretty much do the same thing the next day. And we were at a family, the mom, she was 76 years old, her name was Joyce, and she owned the home, and her son Paul, who was a police officer, and his wife, so it would be her daughter-in-law, lived in this home that was totally, all that was left was the shell of the outside. The inside was totally wiped out. And this dear woman, every single day, had her broom and followed us from room to room, sweeping the floor, offering us something to drink, letting us use the restroom in her trailer, and just wanted to bless us because we were there to bless them. And at the end of the week, she went out and bought every one of us that had been in that house. There were eight of us. She bought us a little souvenir from Bay St. Louis and gave it to us. And we just got to encourage her in the Lord, and she was such a blessing. And her son, who had he had like a wall almost up on the first day that we were there, and just kind of stood back and was just watching us. And by the end of the week, his heart was softened. He was helping the guys in the house do things. He was laughing with the guys. And it was so awesome to see how God put the team that he did in that home just for that family. But one of the things I was so blessed about from Joyce is she said one day, she goes, I have to show you something, Mary, that was spared, because very, very few, I mean, just a handful of things were spared from their home. But she is a cross stitcher, and she had brought out this cross stitch picture and showed it to me. It was missing the frame. And I looked at it, and I just looked at her, and I went, oh, my gosh, God is so good. He saved his word. It was the 23rd Psalm. I was just like, oh, you know, and it was just so neat, the little things like that that God did. And I just want to encourage you that God can use you no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, as young as Garrett, there were people on our team who were in their 60s, and God will equip you to do the work that he's calling you to do.
How you doing? My name's Dave. It was an honor to go on this trip. The devastation that you've seen in some of the pictures, it's unbelievable to see it in person and to actually meet the people and to see the lives that were devastated and changed from this hurricane. you know, one of the first things Pastor Mike said, he's the one that was kind of the project manager down there. He said, when you go out on these tasks and when you go out and do your duties and you go out and tear down these houses and muck houses, make sure you exude the love of Christ. So the main theme was, no matter what we were doing, show the people love, show the people that faith into action. And And so no matter what house you were on or where you were at working, if that owner came and talked to you or and came up, don't be so task-oriented to where you don't show the love of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we did. We'd pull these owners aside, some of them widows. You know, they talked about Marie. One thing she said to me, we were there on New Year's Eve. There was a team of us there hanging drywall. We brought in the New Year at her house. But she waited there till 10 o'clock when we got there after devotions. And she said, you know what? You guys are such a blessing. She said, I took my first bath in my house in 4 months. And so that was a real encouragement. And she's been in this trailer from FEMA, and it's real hard to move around. She's elderly. And so it's just awesome to be a part of that. Another guy, his name was Antoine. We met him in the food tent. There's a lot of fellowship, a lot of things went on in the food tent, a lot of love. And Antoine, he was a Navy vet who was from down there, and he got up and shared on New Year's Eve what God had done in his life, and he shared about the Calvary Chapel tent and the impact that we've made on the community. And he said, the reason I come here all the time is because this is like heaven. And the reason he said it was like heaven was because of the love of Jesus Christ that was shown. So it was just awesome to be a part of that. And the verse I have, I didn't have anything prepared, but Psalm 40, it says, I waited patiently on the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He pulled me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. And he established my steps and put a new song in my mouth, praise be to our God. And you know what? Those people were hopeless, but they said, you know what, where our hope is? In Jesus Christ. And they see that in the tent, and they see that in the people. And so many times I heard people say, this is faith in action. This is real Christianity. And it was just awesome to be a part of that. Thank you.
You know, as several have said, I just want to encourage everybody, you can step out, you can do this. We went not knowing exactly what we were going to do, young to old, and God used everyone uniquely and took everybody out of their comfort zone for his service. The trip came together in like 3 or 4 weeks. Money, time off, everything. If God's in control, he'll make it happen. All he calls us to do is be faithful and step out.
Amazing what the Lord will do when you step out for him. You know, you guys, we get on a lot of planes and trains and automobiles here at this church to go and share Jesus with people. But one thing we don't ever want to be accused of is flying over the mission field to get to the mission field. Because the mission field, like you can see, there's a sign on every door that leads out of this building. Through these doors, you enter the mission field. Amen? Because the mission field's right out there, you guys. And you know what? God is incredibly given us a pastor that has an incredible heart for missions. And 12 or 13 years ago, God called him to Russia to take some teams. And I believe that this body has grown exponentially. One of the reasons is because we've gone on mission trips. It does something to you guys. And you know what? We're covering our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. Because every Thursday night, right upstairs over here, 6 o'clock, Tom? 6:15, the call goes out. And I'll tell you what, nothing changed my life other than accepting Christ, other than that, than to learn, go up there and learn how to share the gospel. I was in the early days of Mike Shepherd when he was first getting started. I learned how to share the gospel, and then I went and did it. You guys, it changes your life. It changes your life like nothing else. When Christ comes in and he speaks through you, it's incredible. It's incredible. You can't explain it. It's better than anything. And I'll tell you, if you haven't done that, you need to do that. Because that's why we're here. You know, we're not here to eat, drink, and be merry. Although, you know, we like In-N-Out and, you know. We're here to serve Christ and to do his work. And I don't know if I shared this with you, but this is, you know, something the Lord gave me a while back. If the Lord should tear every... We have a birth date. 1956 is when I was born. So I'm 49. You don't have to try and do the math. Someday, should the Lord tarry, there's going to be another date on the other end of that date, and it's going to be probably on a rock somewhere in some quiet graveyard somewhere, and it's going to, you know what, in between those two dates, there's going to be a little dash. 1956, whatever that is, should the Lord tarry, or if I might get hit by a bus tonight, but there's going to be a dash there. And the Lord asked me one time, he said, Jeff, what's that little dash going to represent in your life? What's that dash going to represent? What's going to be written on that? What's your life going to stand for, in other words? And I just want to encourage you guys, you know what, time's short, you guys, and we need to be busy about the Lord's business. And if you've never been on a mission trip, I encourage you to sign up. Like our pastor tells us, and the Word tells us, we're either goers or we're senders. And I've had a few that have come up to me and said, Jeff, I'm not a goer. Don't you ask me again to go on a mission trip. And I won't mention who it is, but I probably don't have to. He says, I'm a sender. I'm going to send. I'm not going. Well, you know what? I can't shake this guy now because he goes on every mission trip with me. He's my right arm in missions. And I'll tell you, watch what you tell the Lord you won't do. So I just want to encourage you guys. We have an awesome missions fellowship here, missions church, missions minded. And be praying every Sunday, every single Sunday, 52 weeks a year. Right up in room 202, we have a missions prayer at 1:45 every single Sunday. Without fail, we pray for missions. And I ask you guys, please pray for missions. If you can come up there and spend 5 minutes, or if you're at home or wherever you're at, I ask you to be praying for missions, because that's what life is. If our mission was over, we'd be home with the Lord right now. And I'm ready. I mean, I'm ready for him to take me whenever he's ready. But the thing is, you guys, is in Matthew, and you know these verses. And remember, in Isaiah, before I read Matthew 28, in Isaiah, remember, Isaiah said, Lord, send me. Remember that. He didn't say, Lord, send him, or Lord, send Betty, or Bobby, or Billy. He said, Lord, send me. That's my cry, is Lord, send me. I don't want to miss out, Lord, please. And I pray this often, Lord, if I've done anything that would keep you from using me fully, Lord, take it away from me. Forgive me of it. Help me not to do that thing again, Lord, because I don't want to miss out on anything. Matthew 28 tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He says he'll be with us, and he also tells us to teach them all the commands that he's given us. And the Lord says he'll be with you even to the very end of the age. We can't go out and do anything without him, but man, with him, look out. Man, we can carry out mighty, mighty exploits. And one of the verses, you can jot it down, is in Exodus 34:10. Read it later. It's an awesome verse. You guys, I just want to pray right now, but just in closing, I just want to thank you for the body that you are, the support that you've been to the missions ministry in China, in Germany, in Mexico, in our own states. Soon, I don't know if you know Mike Ogden, he's going to soon be pulling up stakes in Florida and turning that ministry over to another church and heading for South Africa. And many of you have been praying for Africa. Continue to pray for that continent, because Pastor Jack and I and many others are praying, Lord, what do you want us to do in 06? I think Pastor Jack has already shared, I know he has, that we're praying about a team heading over to Russia again. It's been many years since we've been to Russia in September. Pray about that trip, and pray about where else. We can pray. And so I ask you guys to be praying for missions. Time's short, you guys. We just have a little bit of time left. The Bible says that we're to work while it's daytime, because night's coming when no man can work. So I want to encourage you guys. Ask the Lord what he has for you to do. You know what? He's given you a gift. What are you doing with it? Every single person, the Bible tells us, has at least one gift, and many of us many. But what are you doing with that one gift that God's given you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your love, and Lord, again, as I opened in prayer, Lord, it's such a blessing, Lord, to be able to serve you. And Lord, we pray that the service, Lord, to you would put a big smile on your face, Lord. That's our number one priority in life, Lord, is to please you. You're our number one priority, Lord. We have spouses, and they're number two, Lord, and our kids, yeah, they're number three, and our families and friends, they're down there in our work, very important. But Lord, you're number one, and Lord, we just pray, Lord, when our heads hit the pillow at night, Lord, that you would be the one that would be pleased with us, Lord, that we would please you. We wouldn't have missed anything, Lord. When our heads hit the pillow tonight, Lord, help us not to have missed anything. Lord, when we're laid to rest someday, Lord, we don't want to have missed anything. So, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that the opportunities you give us, and Lord, I know from experience that you give us, and from your word, you give us opportunities every single day. Every day you give us an opportunity, at least one or two, and many. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't pass them up, that we would just be bold for you. My goodness, if the people in China can die, this movie coming up, these five men, they had guns. They could have shot these guys. But their one statement was, you know what, I cannot shoot these Indians and kill them because they're not ready to know Jesus, and I am. So they let them run them through with spears. God, that we would have that type of heart, Lord, that we would be willing, like you tell us in your word, greater love has no one than this, that we would lay down our lives for our friends. Lord, we just ask that you would give us that type of heart, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We pray you'd continue to bless our pastor, Lord, and this fellowship, Lord. And until, Lord, you come back, that we would be so busy about your business, Lord, that when you do return, it'd be like, wow, Lord, you're here already? Because we were so busy. Time flew. And Lord, we pray you'd come back tonight, even before this amen. But Lord, should you tarry, we pray that we'd just be busy about your business. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.